week on this message called Abundance, and I want to finish it up this week. And so you can follow along and you can listen to last week's messages up on Podbean, and as today we'll do the same thing. But I've also got the notes down onto the YouVersion app, the Bible app that you can access on your phone, and you can have a look at those. They'll be up all week so you can access those. But we had a key verse from John 10 verse 10 in the Passion Translation. I kind of like it a little different. Jesus writing, he says, "A thief only has one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." I kind of like this. Jesus kind of launches out and says, I want you to understand the reason why I came. I came to give you everything in abundance. First of all, I love it. I came to give. That's how he came to give, and not just to give you enough. He said, I came to give you everything in abundance, and more than you could expect, so that you'd overflow. So there's a purpose to his coming. There's a purpose to his giving. There's a purpose to, you know, that expectation moment, a rich and a satisfying life, not just for yourself, but that it overflows into other people's lives. I want you to tell your neighbor this morning, just remind them, Jesus came for abundance. Tell them this morning. They need to know. Jesus, you need to preach it to the other side of you. You just need to look at them and go, hey, Jesus came for abundance, just to make sure that they're waking up. So we understood last week when we pulled it apart in the Word of God that the blessing flows from God, and that's His part. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow. The blessing flows from God, and stewardship is our part. It flows from man, the way that we function and operate in our world. And so we spent a great deal of time on unpacking the Word of God so that you could understand that, because some people wrestle with the blessing and whether they're meant to be blessed or anything like that. If you struggle with that, just give me all your money, and you don't need to be blessed and worry about it, and I will be. But I'm sure none of you will do that because you really do want to be blessed. So we had a whole bunch of scriptures. Let me go through them really quickly just so that you, if you're taking notes, you can jot them down. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Proverbs 10 verse 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." And 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." The idea that we struggle with was sometimes it's not about more money, though that's what we think we need. It's about taking back control. We talked about how there's only five things that we can really do with our money. And most of us do these in this order. Number one, we spend it. Money comes in and we spend it. Number two, we repay debt, because we spent the money we didn't have. So we're paying debt where we potentially borrowed against our future. Number three, we pay taxes. A lot of us do that unwillingly. They just take it out of our accounts. How rude is that? The reason they do that is because you wouldn't pay it otherwise. Number four, if there's any left over from our spending and our repaying debt, our outliving our lives and then paying our taxes, we then maybe will save a little. And then finally, five, if there's some crumbs at the bottom of the table, we will give and be very generous with what is left. This is essentially the order that we prioritize our lives by default. It is the way of this world that we've been conditioned to live and operate in. And I challenged you last week that there's a whole different way that you can live, that you can flip those priorities around, and it's easy because there's not five, there's only three. You can give first as a way to honor God. You can save purposely what you need to save, and then you live on the rest. So you don't just start living your life and spending whatever. You literally flip it around and you go, you know what, I'm going to determine what I give and what I need to save, and then whatever's left, that's what we're living on. And if that means we've got to adjust our whole budget and our whole finances around, then that's what we're going to do. I had a testimony come in this week from somebody who sat in the service just last week, and they went home and they began to reevaluate their budget. And they just said, you know what, we need to do this. And they're not people who aren't living faithfully, doing what God wants them to do. They're doing all of that. But they just said, you know, we're just going to reprioritize it. So they sat down and they redid their whole finances under just what was given out last week. And they began to think, well, we're going to save up for this particular item. And they prayed about it and they said, yep, and it's going to take us over 12 months to get there. But that's a great plan because we're going to do it honoring God. Do you know, before the week was out, they had notification that somebody had had this happen in their life and a circumstance, and they sold a car and they're sending them a check for the amount that they were saving for. Before they even prayed about it. Because why? Because the testimony that we just read, that He came to bless us abundantly, more than you would expect. More than you would expect. Because that's the way that God works in our lives. So we go back to this, we understand God is for abundance. So it's not simply good enough to know how to handle money. We got to know how to handle money God's way. If we want God's blessing, we've got to be money smart and biblically wise. Because we get trained in so many things, don't we? But often just left to our own devices when it comes to our finances. And a lot of people say, you know, that's personal, Pastor. That's got nothing to do with you. It's just between me and God. And yes, absolutely. And God wants you to be better at handling the finances that He blessed you with. He wants you to get a good handle on this thing. I want you to, you know, understand something, that if God was to just give you more and you think you need more and your finances are in a mess, so you got a mess in your life and God gives you more, guess what you're going to have? More mess. Because that's the problem, is not the finances. You know, well, I just need more. It's like when I was thinking about that, maybe who's been married here for 10 years, 5 years, beyond, you know, 600 years, been married 2, 3, 4 times. If you've been married more than once, you know this, right? Do you remember, because maybe you were a little bit naive like I was, all we had to do was get married and to be better. Who got married and realized that was not true? You know, you just think it's going to be so much better when we get married. Who knows that that was not necessarily true, right? That it didn't, none of the problems magically went away. In fact, all these new problems manifested that, you know, that nobody told me He did that. Nobody told me, good Lord, did that smell come out of that man? Something died there a week or so ago. So you need to tell that person next to you, you need to learn how to handle some money. Husband, this is your opportunity to tell your wife, you need to learn how to handle your money. You got to know how to handle your money. So this morning, I want to make it really quite practical as we land this message, this two-part series. I want to cover some attributes that help contribute to an abundance mentality and understanding that. And believe me, the list could go on and on. I just want to cover a few this morning if I can. The first one, probably to me, one of the most important is stewardship. Stewardship is so important. It's one of the things that we first talked about. Blessing comes from God. That's His responsibility. But stewardship comes from us, and that's our responsibility. In fact, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 says these words, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and all in earth is yours." It's all His. Yours is the kingdom. You've been exalted and head over all. Both riches and honor come from who? Come from God. That's what the Bible just says. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. I'm kind of getting the sense out of this passage of Scripture that God owns it all. This whole place is God's. Have you ever considered for a moment how short your time is on this earth? I mean, seriously, even if you were to be blessed to kick out into three figures, and I know some of you look like you're kicking close to it, but you're not there yet, and we're going to live 100 years. This earth has been around for thousands. And everything that you've worked so hard to accumulate over your lifetime, you can't take with you. Except what you've invested into somebody else. But all the toys, you remember the saying, he who dies with the most toys wins? No, he who dies with the most toys still dies. And then somebody else takes his toys. And they don't even appreciate it. You worked hard to get the toys that they just take. John saved a long time, waited a long time to be blessed for the motorcycle. His son is already looking and going, one day dad is going to go and I'm going to ride that motorcycle and it's just going to be mine. And I'm probably not going to think about him once while I'm riding it, except to go, thanks, Dad, for the motorbike. You could have got a better jacket. You know, just like, seriously. So it's so funny that we spend all this time, and when we understand that it's all God's, it takes you off center stage. And I don't know about you, but that's actually freeing for me. If God owns it all, then I'm only managing for the one who owns it. So our objective then, when I follow this thought through, is that we should honor God with everything. See, our financial objective is to honor God with everything, not just a percentage, but everything. This is a defining moment in our lives because, you know, for this, we've got to come to a place where we're willing to trust and obey Him even beyond what we'd normally understood, because we understand normally that we would trust God with a percentage. Isn't that true? I mean, I'm happy to share a percentage with God. I'm aiming for that lofty Christian 10%. You know, so that's a lot of money. If I'm pulling 100 grand a year, then that means God's taken 10 grand out of my pocket. And that's the way some of us look at it. But the good news is 90,000 is mine, all mine. Well, I'm a terrible pastor. Because I'm here to tell you, no, that's not God saying. He says He wants it all. Just give the whole lot back to Him. And some of you are freaking out right now and going, should we bring that for the offering? No, that's not called generous. That's called stupid. Because we're talking about stewardship. So how do I honor God then with all of it? With every decision that I make, I'm choosing to honor God or not. So when I'm doing my shopping this week, I'm not praying, oh, Lord, direct me to the sales. Father, is this toothpaste going to make me more or less holy? You know, but I am saying that I would be a good steward of my finances to honor you, God. That when I'm going into my work this week on Monday and I'm working at whatever that work may be, whether I'm a landscaper, a lawnmower, or working as a lecturer or driving a truck or in an office or whatever it is, that I find myself, I'm honoring God. I'm being a steward of the time that He gave me, of all of that. So my whole life, it's not a percentage, it's all of His. So I want to honor Him with all of it in a very practical way. And that doesn't mean you can't enjoy your life, because otherwise you're going against the very premise of the verse that we just read in John chapter 10. He said He gave it to you in abundance to enjoy it. So you can have the coffee after church and you go, I'm going to have a double coffee just for Jesus. You can have that chocolate cake. Just remember it's 375 calories. You've got to run about 35 minutes at 10.5 kilometers an hour to burn that sucker off. Otherwise, you know, you're going to enjoy that chocolate cake on your lips, and then it's just going to sit on your hips. And you're going, hey, what's happening? That's chocolate cake right there. See that? Mm-mm. There's a bit of pizza. There's a bit of... No, don't worry about it. When we understand it's God's anyway... We understand then that He doesn't want our stuff because it's His. He wants our heart because that's what we give. He wants our trust because that's where the choice is. That we literally live our lives in a way going, hey, You've already blessed me with this, Lord. I woke up today alive. That changed everything. It still took me a long time to get dressed because I'm still a one-armed bandit. But I did wake up alive. Most of me was functioning quite well. And I'm so grateful for that. If I'd woken up dead, that would have changed everything today. It would have been quite awkward preaching up here dead. You know, but the reality was, so I want to be a good steward for that. The other side of stewardship that we need to understand is who has their hand in your pocket? Who has their hand in your pocket? That's it. You know, that's something that we should be asking. This is something that we ought to be concerned about. Where is the money going? You ever get to the end of the week and go, man, where did all the money go? I never say that because I have a budget. I never say that because I follow my budget. I never say that because I even stick to my budget. And my budget doesn't set me into bondage. It actually releases me to be free. so that I don't have to ever worry about where the money's going, who's got their hand in my pocket, how come I spent that, how did that blow out, blah, 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 blah. Husbands, you know, this is time, don't look at your wife, just pray. Wives, maybe you just need to look ahead and pray for your husband, but I know you haven't, you've already turned to him and go, mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we need to not be ignorant, we need to be informed. A recent study showed that a majority of families have really no idea how much they're spending on food each year. Not just groceries, we kind of limit it to groceries, we kind of think that that's the figure. And the figure is an estimate of around about $400 per week that people would go, they'd spend about $400 a week on groceries and household living and stuff like that. And so, you know, cleaning products, all that kind of gear, blah, 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 blah. The reality is far worse. The reality in this country is anywhere up to $80,000 a year on groceries and food. That's crazy. But most people think that they're doing half of that. And the reason is because they're not living as a good steward. And so they're being, you know, they're being taken out by just impulse buying, by buying all the things that are on special and thinking they're saving the money, but they weren't going to buy it anyway. That's why you do lists up and you think, well, this is what I need to buy, not just what I want to buy. And if it's all God's anyway, then, you know, we're just a steward of what he gave us. So that means, gee, I was thinking I was through that in the first service. Last service, I was like, bleep, 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 that's all, folks. It means that we don't have to just be a steward. It means that we need to be responsible. It means that we need to choose not to be a victim, but we need to just start with where we are and go, well, I'm just going to do the best that I can. And all of heaven rejoices and go, that's what I'm talking about. It means that if you give God a platform to work on, then he can bless the platform that you give him. And if that platform is based out of generosity and stewardship, then you set yourself up for the favor of the blessing of the Lord. Another attribute of abundance is a great word. We love it for other people. It's called discipline. And I like, you know, who knows, isn't it cool? Because you can watch other, you know, children that aren't yours and you just wish the parents would discipline them. You get an itchy hand to do them, and sometimes we miss them ourselves. And we can see the discipline needed in other people's lives, but it's sometimes a little bit hard for us to see the discipline that's needed in our lives. But it is, in fact, an attribute that sets us up for an abundance, and we've got to understand that. Money comes from, and I like this, where does money come from? Money comes from, young people go, Dad. Or money comes from Mum. And, you know, no, mum and dad, they're not the source of money. Well, where does money come from? Money comes from Centrelink. Yeah, the Centrelink. You know, no, money doesn't come from Centrelink. Money comes from God. No, money doesn't come from God. According to the Word of God, money comes from work. I know, right? That's just depressing right there. Some of you were having a great day until I threw that out. Oh, man, do you have to bring it down? Seriously? So that means that if you want money, guess what you got to do? You guys are sharp. You guys are sharp. One of the early services stood there. I have no idea where you're going with this. I think they were just hoping to get out of it. But to see abundance in our lives, it's more than just our stewardship. It's understanding the value of work. We shared in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, how the Bible says that you create wealth. But the truth is you still need to create it. The diligent prosper, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4 says, and they prosper because they are diligent. That's why they prosper. And the Bible has an interesting philosophy, and it goes like this, no freeloaders here. That's what he said. No sponges here. That's what he says. The Bible says that. Not Pastor Rick, don't get angry at me. Write a letter to God. Send it to god@god.com. Why? You for universe. 2 Thessalonians, I think it is. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 11, Paul writes these words. If you're not willing to work, neither should you eat. Man, that's what the Bible says. That there's a value in having a work ethic. There's a discipline that helps you grow in so many areas of your life. The value is what happens is because when we value something, it adds to us. That cost of it is a value to us. So when we work hard for something, it's worth a lot more to us than we just get given it. You value what costs you. So if you're given something for free, you don't really attach as much value to that unless you knew there was a cost involved. If you watched your parents work really hard for it and stuff like that, then sure, you value it. But if you've had to work hard for it, you'll value it even more because there was a discipline involved in the process. Because discipline brings depth, but self-gratification leads to entitlement mentality. That when you have discipline in your life, it deepens your ability to hold and contain the blessing and the favor of God. You understand the value of what he's talking about. But entitlement will rob abundance from your life and make money your ruler. And money is a great servant, but a horrible ruler. And you don't want to come under the rule of money, because money is also finite. And that's what you've got to realize and remember as you're spending your pay packet this week or your allowance. It will run out. And so we learned the three priorities that we chatted about last week and touched on this morning very quickly. The priorities of give as a way to honor God, save what you need to save, and live on the rest. And reprioritizing our world so that we can set ourselves up with that discipline. And saving up for something creates a greater value for your life. You'll respect it more. You'll honor it more. And just if it's given out, it's too easy. It's so easy to just go in there with that magic credit card. But the problem with that is you're actually borrowing against your future, which you have no right to. And that's what you've got to realize. I'm actually borrowing against my future. And what if God wants me to be set up for something in 8 months' time, but I've already overcommitted myself in 8 months' time to this thing that I'm getting now? And now I'm not free, so guess what? Guess who the ruler is? Not you. Money just became your ruler. And that's what you've got to remember every single time. Am I letting money become my ruler here, or am I still in charge? Am I following the ways of the world or the ways of the Word? And there's a way that seems great and right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And sometimes the way of a Christian is just a little bit weird to the way of this world. But we don't need to give an account to the world for our actions. But we do need to give an account to our God. And he said, I want you to be disciplined so that when you run, you're not disqualified, so that you last it out, so that you can be a blessing to other people, so that one day, should the Lord tarry, you lay up an inheritance to your children's children. Not like the new greatest thing where grandparents are encouraged to spend their inheritance and enjoy themselves and leave nothing to the next generation. I couldn't disagree with that more. My job as a parent is to set my kids up to go further than I went, to bless them so that they don't have to struggle as much as I had to struggle. Don't worry, they're going to have their own struggles. It's okay. Nobody gets a free lunch, but I don't want to have them having the same struggles I had. I want them to step into a whole new level, have new different struggles, the struggles that come with that new level that God is setting them up for. Amen? Amen. And finally today, the attribute of abundance, which I call carry the cash. Carry the cash. Contentment is the antidote. What do I mean by that? Well, I hardly ever carry cash, I have to be honest. In fact, almost never, because if I do, my kids take it. And if my kids don't take it, then my wife somehow discovers it and it disappears. I mean, when I say the word carry the cash, I mean living within your means, not borrowing against your future. So it's learning, and this is a process, learning to live within your means. And for some of us, this is not that easy to do. Learning to put a budget in place, learning how to control your spending. It's a journey. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes effort. It takes keeping records. You know, it takes thinking about how much was that last electricity bill? And you just had a look at it and you go, oh, Lord Jesus, is that the bill or the phone number to ring them on? And help me, Lord. But here's the crazy thing. That was your summer bill, not your winter bill. So you need to be thinking, well, what was my winter bill? And some people don't even think about that. When was the rego due? You know, I have an exciting time in January. Who loves January? I hate January. We just celebrated Christmas, and January, I get to celebrate over $4,500 worth of bills that come in. just because of the way the finances are. And that's not even getting the kids in school. That's just welcome to January, Rick. And, you know, you just had a great Christmas and you bought the kids Christmas presents and you went away and you did this and you did that. But you know what? You see me happy in January because we're fasting, number one. It saves me some money. Why do you think I put the fast in there? It was nothing to do with spirituality. I was like, how can I, Lord Jesus? But it's because I started putting money away in October so that when I got to there, because I live within my means for that period of time, so it wasn't a surprise when the bill came. I knew the bill was coming, so I knew I had to have the money there. My wife would look in the account and go, "Woo, we's loaded." And I go, "No, we's not. Don't touch it." And because we're being good stewards and we're carrying the cash. We're being content with this area. We're not overspending. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself. Wow. We live in a crazy society, a crazy culture. A culture of more. I love that about Aldi. Going to Aldi, you just never knew what you needed to buy until you got there. Content people don't always have the best of everything, but they make the best of everything. Content people understand and they live with a satisfied or an unsatisfied satisfaction. They're kind of cool where they are. That you learn to enjoy, not endure, the season of the life that you're in. When we were saving for our first home and we were living way beyond below the poverty line in this country. And we made our meals out of rice and mince almost every night. Buy like a 10 kilo bag of rice and discover how many different ways you could eat rice. And enjoy it. None. There's no way. There's no way. But you just eat it anyway. It's a carbohydrate. And mince is a protein. Well, probably predominantly a fat because we've got the cheap mince. Back in the days, do you remember it was $2 a kilo? I remember it. $2 a kilo. Now it's a little more. But the reality is, as we were in that season, you know, I didn't worry. Not because I don't care. I'm a foodie, man. I believe that I should be sitting in a 5-star restaurant every day having a meal if I could. But I knew something. This was just a season. And that what I forsook today, when I live within my means today, was so that tomorrow I'd be in my house. And the blessing of the Lord, that contentment made me rich. And even though I thought I was sacrificing so much, again, I gave God a platform for blessing. And oh, the blessing flowed. Holidays, taking out for meals, unexpected, you know, opportunities come our way. Opportunities for me to earn even double my income in 1 year. Amazing. I just took a little time and I just said, Lord, this is a season. I'm going to start right here. But I'm so excited, God, because I know that this is only where I'm starting. Because I know what John 10:10 says, that you came to bless me abundantly. You came to increase me. You came to pour out your favor upon my life. And I'm so excited. So I learned something. I learned, don't spend it all. Don't spend it all. Have a little left over. Create a little bit of margin. A bit of breathing space. Tell your neighbor in these last few minutes, you need breathing space. You need some breathing space. Contentment is your view, your perspective on things. Great news is that you can always change your perspective. One element of this is having an attitude of gratitude. Are you finding yourself entrusted or feeling entitled? Are you locating yourself as a steward or an owner? Generosity is the antidote to selfishness. More is caught than taught. Giving every week consistently, coming every week, praying every week, in the Word every week. These things that we set ourselves up make us to grow deep in the things of God and set us up for the blessing and the favor of God. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, Moses is writing, he says, today I've given you a choice between life and death, between blessing and cursing. Now I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Trained each week and equipped to make the right choice, the right choice. These choices that we have to make are before us every single day. What choice would you make? Would you choose to live a life of abundance that is only truly found by doing it His way? What will you purpose in your heart? Or will you just continue to do what you've always done? What does your future look like? I can tell you something. Your future is changed by what you do today. As we close your eyes and bow our heads in this place, I want to pray for you. And I thank you, God, for your word that we've read over these last couple of weeks. Man, it's amazing that you want us to be blessed and blessed abundantly, more than we could expect. So blessed, in fact, that it would overflow out of our lives and into the lives of others around us. Blessed to be a blessing. Increased so that we could bring something. Father, I thank you for the journey that we're on. And all of us are somewhere along that line of growing and changing and getting our head around this thing. I pray this morning, and maybe just in some small way, what you said through my mouth would fire up in the hearts and lives of somebody in the sound of my voice. And they'd have a whispered vow on the inside. I'm gonna learn to do it God's way. I'm gonna learn the walk of abundance. Help me, Jesus, as I reorder my priorities, give, save, and live. A lot of things have got to shift today, God, and it's going to take a lot longer than one day. It might take months, maybe even years, but God, I'm committed to the process because I'm looking with an expectation to the fulfillment of the promise. When you want to see the promise, you've got to commit to the process. So we make that decision today in Jesus' name. As we prepare our hearts next week, what an opportunity to be generous. We know, God, it's not just about faith and love and hope. It's about setting our hearts up for the rest of this year. It's about setting our lives up to see it come under that pathway of abundance. And we're excited for the challenge in the name of Jesus. And maybe you came out this morning, and I don't want to pretend that I know where everybody is in their life and in their walk with God. And perhaps you've been struggling in your walk with God, and perhaps you've been struggling in your life. And I want to be able to pray with you right where you are today. Maybe for you to make a decision for Jesus Christ, for Him to be your Lord and your Savior for the very first time, or come back to Him. The one thing that I can promise you, and I've said over and over again today, God wants you blessed. He wants you to have an amazing life. And it starts with a personal relationship with Him. This isn't about religion. It's never been about religion. It's never been about whether you do the right things or don't do the right things. It's always been about relationship and accepting what He did for you. We understand, the Bible makes it really clear in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the very first thing He gave. When Jesus came, He came to give us abundance. When He came to give us life. He came to give us hope. He came to make a way. He came to light our paths. He came to tell us the truth. So this morning, here we are, you, me, and Him. And I want to challenge you in your walk and your journey. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to give your life to Him this morning, I'd love you to do something for me. I'd love you to just lift your hand up. I'll see it and you can put it down. I'll pray with you right where you are today. If that is you, as I look across this place, I don't want to miss anybody, God, so speaking to you and challenging you. This is your moment right now. If that was, pray for me, Pastor Rick. Pray for me today as I make a decision for Jesus. I don't want to miss anybody. As I look across from the left to the right, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God. Awesome, awesome. Praise God. Let me pray. Father, I thank you today that you just continue to pour your blessing and favor on us as we go out this week. Can we be amazing ambassadors for you, God? Can we live an abundant life in every area, in our time, our treasure, and our talents, and just continue to do what you've called us to do, to be who you called us to be? And we just want to give you the glory and the honor for that in the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted, amen. Come on, let's give it up. Give a praise offering to God. So cool. Let's stand our feet tonight. We're going to tonight.